If you're anything like me, lately you might have been feeling some time dilation. I don't mean the kinds of experiments they run to prove the theory of relativity. I just mean a general sense of not quite knowing how fast or slow time is moving. With our schedules turned upside down, a lot of things keeping our attention, it's hard to keep up these days. But one thing I know for sure is that it is the beginning of summer. And summer is traditionally a pretty important time for educators. It gives them time to refresh, renew, plan. And this year, that feels more important than ever. That's why this week in our meeting of the EdTech Club, we're talking about seizing the summer, taking advantage of this time to reconnect and renew ourselves and our commitment to what we do. This week's guest speaker is TCEA's own Director of Professional Development, Dr. Bruce Ellis. And Bruce has been thinking hard about what educators can do over the summer to invigorate their minds, bodies, and spirits. That's right, we're talking about some eat, pray, love level stuff in this episode. We're talking about taking the time to connect with what we do, how we do it, how we're going to do it moving forward, and how we can give ourselves some time to unwind while still feeling productive. So if that interests you, keep listening, because this week we're covering all of that and more with Dr. Bruce Ellis, and it all starts right now. Hey folks, and thanks for taking the time out for another meeting of the EdTech Club, the podcast from TCEA. I'm Andrew Rausch. So this week we're talking to Dr. Ellis all about taking advantage of the summer for self-improvement, for improving our work, and for all sorts of other things. So he's got a lot of great tips, he's got some really specific things that he wants to share with you, and he's got some big broad ideas that might challenge you to think about your own ways of renewing and reconnecting over the summer. So, no more prologue. Here's our conversation with Dr. Bruce Ellis. So, I mean, I think we'll just have a quick conversation, and yeah, we're definitely thinking, I'm an educator, I'm going into the summer. What does that mean and how can I use that time? Of course, the last few weeks, we're recording this in the first week of June. We've seen a lot of changes, not just to education, but we've seen a lot of changes in what's happening in our society outside of schools.
Yeah.
And so it's a time when I think a lot of people are reflecting not only what can I do to refocus and re-engage, but also sometimes how can I just relax or deal with things that are piling up. So for educators, summer's a great time to do that. As we're closing out the spring and closing out a school year and looking ahead, what are you thinking about in terms of what educators can be doing right now?
Well, it's to me, I'm thinking, man, if I was back in the classroom, it would be about recovery. For me as an educator, it's really about how do I recover? This was a very unusual and draining spring. Mm. Regardless of whether we're in the classroom or supporting teachers, it just, we had no way to emotionally prepare for it. And so I'm really thinking about, okay, how do I recover so that I am my best when school starts back in the fall? You know, what can I do emotionally, physically, mentally, to kind of get myself back in that spot where I'm at my best? Kind of that analogy of when our well is dry, we don't have much to give.
Right.
And I think our wells have kind of dried up the last couple of months or a couple of weeks. So it's really about how can I fill my well up? What is it that energizes me? What are my passions? What are some things that I just kind of lost sight of that I can give some attention to now so that when school starts back, whatever that's going to look like, I'm at a place where I can feel good about, you know, I'm ready to stand and deliver, so to speak. My well is filled and I'm good. And now I'm more able to think, okay, kids, how can I support you the best I can, or if I'm working with teachers, what do you need from me? How can I support you to make your year the best possible year?
Yeah. And so when we think about refilling the well, especially right now when people feel maybe exhausted and maybe uncertain, what are some things you're thinking about in terms of ways that we can recharge the water supply, the learning supply, the inspiration supply?
Well, I think we're all zoomed out. So the first place I go to, which isn't a natural place for me, is really unplugging and, you know, just kind of detoxing and saying, okay, you know what, I don't have to be on my computer all the time. I can take a break from social media, you know, whether it's just connecting with family or just doing some simple things unplugged. You know, as we're allowed, whatever our constraints happen to be, wherever we happen to live. But it's just really, you know, am I getting outside some, you know, walking around my neighborhood, even if I'm still having to social distance to a certain point. Oddly enough, in the last week or two, I've met more neighbors than I have in the last several years I've lived in my house. Right. And, you know, we were talking maybe 20 or 30 feet apart, but as I'm walking my dog trying to get out, you know, we just, you know, they're kind of stir crazy and I'm kind of stir crazy. And so it's, you know, we have like a 2 or 3 minute chat of, hey, how's it going? And all of a sudden it feels like, wow, I haven't had real conversation in forever, you know?
Right.
So part of it is just unplugging and looking for ways that you can connect with people, even if it's not the 2 feet, 24 inch face-to-face chats. When I go to Sonic, of course, this isn't great for their business, but I feel tempted to say, can we just talk? I don't want to order anything. I just want to talk to a person. So,
yeah, don't want to slow the line down, but it's nice to see you.
That's right. You know, so I just got to be clear up front, you know, just let me have a Route 44 and 10 minutes of your time.
What's it been like? How are you doing?
That's right. There's a video put out by Rita Pearson years ago called Every Kid Needs a Champion. Man, and that is a for sure video for every teacher to watch. Even as we start summer, initially, we may think, oh, you know, she's talking about being there for the kids, and I'll watch that as it gets closer to August. But man, she really fires you up. And just having watched that recently, as I'm going into summer, it really makes me kind of refocus and go, you know what? Amidst all the crazy things that have happened, so many of those things I had no control over, how I do have control over me being a champion for the kids or the adults that I have access to. And so it's really, you know, just thinking about what are a variety of ways that we can recharge, fill our well, and become that champion, kind of prepping for being a champion when it comes to fall.
Yeah, and I, hearing you say that, I think back to when we had Principal Baruti Kafele at our convention this year, and also on our podcast. One of the big things he talked about is if you're in education, you have to focus on your why. That is the why you do it. And it has to be something beyond, I think I would be good at it, or I like helping kids, or I want to be useful to society. I mean, those are absolutely great reasons to be a teacher, but they can be hard to focus on when things get turned upside down. So kind of revisiting some of the core drives that made you an educator could probably be very helpful.
Yeah, definitely so. It makes me think back when I was working on my dissertation and finally finished, proposed and got it all wrapped up and everything. Prior to that, everything I picked up, everything that I read had to be connected to a report, had to be connected to, okay, so what am I going to do with this? And afterwards is kind of like a time of recovery, just, okay, who am I? What do I want to do? And it was so enjoyable to pick up a book and say, I can read this without having to do a book report on it, or I don't have to worry about citations, or I don't have to worry about giving a report to the faculty or anything like that. And one of the sites that I found that was very helpful was goodreads.com. Mm-hmm. And several of my friends are on there. So it's an easy way for me to say, hey, what are y'all reading? And let me have a synopsis of those books, and then I can choose to pick those up or not. More recently, I found on Reddit, there is a subreddit group called If I Like. I think that's the name of it. And you post to the group, say, you know, if I like this author, or if I like this genre, or if I like this activity, what are some other things I might like?
An organic Netflix algorithm.
Yeah, yeah. And so it's really interesting because I get an author that I like, but they only have like six books or three books. And I'm going like, no, you know, I don't have time to wait for you to write your next book. I'm ready to read something now. So going to either of those resources kind of lets me say, okay, what can I jump into, whether I have a day or whether I have a week, or I'm trying to spread something over the summer, that I can just step back and say, okay, I'm going to unplug and I'm going to enjoy reading this. You know, and I found that those are two really good places for me to kind of tap into, and like you said, kind of an organic algorithm. You know, if I go to the web and I look for the, you know, like the Bluebonnet list, those are great, already organized for students. But I'm looking for something kind of beyond that, that hasn't necessarily been organized officially, hasn't already been put out as a podcast or, you know, favorite books for summer 2020. Mm-hmm. And so it's a great way to kind of pick your friend's brain or pick some strangers that happen to be like-minded and get some ideas from them.
And so there's a sense of taking some time to mentally focus, to mentally recharge.
Yeah.
But you also mentioned sort of we are all getting a little bit stir crazy. And so you mentioned taking some time to go outside, to get some exercise. So there's not only a mental aspect, but there's a physical aspect as well.
Yep. And, you know, there are, even like with Meetup, though things have been changed or postponed, I've noticed on Meetup, groups are starting to get back together somewhat in a unique fashion. But, you know, if reading isn't your thing, crafting happens to be something you're interested in, or DIY or woodworking or whatever it happens to be. Mm-hmm. You know, it offers another way of saying, okay, how can I get out of the four walls that I've kind of been confined to recently and connect with other people and bring something to me that I can start saying, wow, I'm growing again as a person. You know, it's not about me just giving, but now it's about how do I replenish and get back maybe what I, not necessarily what I lost, but what I had to put on hold for a while.
Mm, sort of adding to what you had even.
Yeah, definitely so. My wife has wanted to do 5K runs. I'm not a runner. And, you know, I've seen the memes or the short videos where somebody says, you know, the person in the car stops because somebody's running and they say, are you okay? And, you know, and they're going like, yeah.
I need a few weeks to get back in shape.
Yeah, I'm just out running. And they're going like, you mean you're not in danger and you're running? You know, what's the deal? You know? And so I told my wife, I said, okay, I don't know that I'm definitely not cut out to do a marathon by any means. 5K, 1K, half a K, you know, I could probably manage that. And so she's introduced me to virtual races. You know, I'm not one to get up at 5 a.m. and go to downtown Austin or, you know, to downtown Dallas and say, hey, I'm going to run with 90,000 other people.
Right. I would rather very impractical at the moment.
true. Plus, I'm not a morning person. So I would rather get up and maybe like 10 o'clock, you know, okay, I'm I'm now half awake. Let me run, or at least walk. But virtual races kind of allow people to say, hey, what does your time frame look like? What does your schedule look like? And there doesn't have to be a specific start time or start date. You have a couple of weeks to get this done. You can do it in your own park, or you can do it with your friends. You can do it, you know, live with your friends, or you can kind of connect with your people on Facebook and say, hey, let's all do this within the next week. And so I'm getting my mind wrapped around that, of how do I jump into some, how do I find some virtual races? Plenty of them are out there online. Earlier today, I came across one that was a Disney virtual race. It goes through August, and it's been years since we've been to Disney, but you know, it's like, hey, the sucker inside of me, or the part of me that says, the extrinsic motivation part of me says, hey, I would like to get that medal, you know,
right.
And granted, I'm paying for it, but that's not the point. The point is, you know, if I do this 5K, then I, you know, I'll buy the medal or the t-shirt or whatever it happens to be, and make it official that, you know, and record my time with them, that we can say, okay, I did something different this summer, kind of broke out of my routine and just said, okay, I don't want to go cliff diving or bungee jumping, but what's something else that I can do that would be interesting and fun, but not land me in a emergency room, hopefully.
That's fair. And as far as I know, you know, the cliff diving, bungee jumping, really the exercise there is getting up the hill. So, and so I think virtual race is kind of fascinating, and it kind of touches on, you know, it's a gamification aspect, something we talk about in education, but that obviously exists in personal wellness and marketing and all sorts of other things.
Yeah. And we definitely know through research that however we're doing physically, that's going to impact our learning, our, you know, whether it's our teaching side or whether it's our learning side, just being more physically fit is just going to help us be better able to stand and deliver or to receive and apply. And, you know, besides virtual races, you know, geocaching, during the school year, it's a little bit hard possibly to find time to do geocaching. Now that it's summer, it's a great time. And plenty of things, plenty of geocaches, regardless of where somebody happens to live, that are, you know, within, could be as little as 5 minutes drive, or could be as much as maybe an hour drive. But just kind of the excitement of the, not just the destination, but the journey of planning it. And, you know, if you're with your family, kind of, what do you think this is going to be? And what if we can't find it, and what it might look like? And just rehearsing memories and other experiences we've had, and just kind of building each other up.
Another aspect of, you know, refocusing and sort of seizing your time during the summer is also to think about caring for your own mental and emotional health. Obviously, we're in the midst of a public health pandemic that is changing the way people live, and those kinds of changes can affect our emotions, our moods, our outlook, et cetera, et cetera. And on top of that, we've seen a lot of what would we describe it as? Civic unrest, really. At least here in the United States, over the past week or so leading up to this recording. So, and not only communities and students and parents are grappling with changes and very vital issues, but of course, teachers as a kind of leader in their community are grappling with these as well. So if I'm an educator going into this summer thinking this is going to be a toll on my mental state, what is some advice we can give?
You know, it's always a good thing if we can volunteer and give back. And there are plenty of ways that we can volunteer. We may have to be a little creative. We may have to do a little Google or Bing searches, or reach out and contact some of our friends to find out ways that we can volunteer locally. But, you know, when we have a chance to volunteer, it really puts us, gives us a deeper perspective of what others are going through, helps us build empathy, helps us better understand different perspectives that may not be a part of our experience, but also at the end of the day gives us this rich experience of I've given back. And mentally, that is a huge boost whenever we can do that.
Hmm. Yeah, a sense of participating. You know, a lot of folks can probably feel helpless when major world events are happening. You know, it can feel hard to not only affect whatever change you might want or keep an eye on the things you care about, but simply kind of keep yourself together and stay focused and remember your personal priorities and things.
Exactly. And even if I'm passionate about some of the topics that are being expressed in the news, I may not have control or the ability to participate in a way that I would like to. But, you know, that's kind of where we have to step back and say, okay, what do I have control over? Where can I participate in those things that I care greatly about? How can I be an advocate, not just for myself as I'm trying to do recovery and fill the well, but how can I be an advocate for those around me, whether it's my neighborhood or, you know, the larger community in general?
So we've been thinking about how we want to take this time in terms of those moments where we can find distraction or relaxation, which are important to build up our capacity to deal with things. What are we doing for fun this summer? What's on your mind in terms of things folks can do to stay connected and give themselves some time to enjoy being social and being as involved and as possible with the world?
You know, I think one thing that has come up over the last couple of years that I've seen is where people are like, I've got my bucket list, and I don't have a bucket list, but I have thought about putting together a bucket list for the summer. It's not necessarily for my life. I'm not going to hike, you know, a mountain or something like that, but kind of what are some things that are doable for this summer, the next month or 2 months, whether I'm isolated or not isolated, that I would say, you know, this sounds like it'd be fun to do. What can I put on my bucket list? Some of those things may help me as an educator, may give me new insights or new depths of learning, may expose me to some research that I haven't read yet. But then some of those are just fun experiences, just kind of escaping the stress. Not too far from us here in Austin, if we head north on 35, I don't remember the exit, but there is a cheese cave that I've seen the exit to for several years. And I keep thinking, you know, at some point I'm going to visit that place and see how do they make cheese and visit their cheese cave. And so as I kind of thought about what might be on my bucket list, you know, that's an easy one. It doesn't require me to lose 20 pounds. Doesn't require me to, you know, buy special equipment, you know, to participate or anything like that.
Charter any flights to exotic locations.
Exactly. Or make sure, you know, my scuba diving license is updated or whatever it happens to be. It's getting together, you know, if somebody is in a family, kind of coming up together as a family and saying, hey, let's put together a bucket list. And it may just be that with our schedule, we only have one day a week or part of one day a week that we can focus on our bucket list. But let's go ahead and anticipate some things, brainstorm some things that as a family, we would like to do, whether it's just in the process creating memories or whether it's also adding skills and learning, you know, to our repertoire. What are some things that might sound fun to us? You know, maybe connecting with your friends via social media and coming up with a group bucket list and just kind of saying, hey, okay, well, let's see if we can get everything done on our bucket list by this date. And then we'll have like a big get together. And it's not that necessarily everything is going to be done by everybody, but everything gets done by somebody. And then when you're together, you kind of have these experiences that, even if they were different, different items on the bucket list, you all had this commonality that, hey, we're going to do some things, and when we get together, we're going to be able to share these experiences and just have some fun connecting time that that we've missed.
And complement each other in terms of, you know, doing something that you wanted to do. It's almost like a scavenger hunt, and your team gets the list and somebody says, oh, I know where we could find this, this and that.
Exactly.
I'm going to go do that. And then the other person says, oh, I definitely know where we can find a baby buggy. Let's go get that.
That's right.
We
don't have to worry about Zoom.
right. We can catch up later and compare notes. I think that's really excellent. So we're getting close on time. I've already taken up enough of yours, but is there are there things I haven't asked or anything you want to make sure you mention?
You know, I would just encourage educators to think outside the box. And part of that is for educators, just one of the ways that we connect is via social media, whether we're looking for ideas for the classroom or trying to get some professional development taken care of. We're looking for ideas. We're looking for ways of connecting with our students or with other educators. Sometimes that can be also enriching and fun. And so I would just encourage educators to take a look at what are some social media platforms that you haven't participated in, but you might want to lurk and take a look and see, you know, what's being shared. What are some ideas and some resources that are out there that you may not have come across, or you may haven't come across in that method? You know, there are things I go to on Reddit. I enjoy getting things there. There are other things I go, you know, to other social, whether it's Periscope, Pinterest, you know, via TikTok, just whatever it happens to be. I'm not a big Snapchat person, but I may, this summer, I may jump on Snapchat, just say, okay, what are some things here that I can learn from, or that I can just have fun doing, connecting with people, and just really being in the moment, just kind of being present, even if it's just me, enjoying being with me. If it's with my family or friends or the Sonic person that's taking my order, how do I be present in the moment and make the most of that? And that, you know, so at the end of the week, I don't feel like I gave everything and I was just scraping the bottom, you know, but throughout the giving, I was also making time to get and to receive, or just to be aware.
Okay, folks, as you can see on the clock, we are running out of time for this meeting of the EdTech Club, but of course, a few notes before I release you. We'll start with extra credit. First things first, if you want to get a leg up on your elementary teaching over the summer, don't forget there's still time to register for TCEA's all-virtual Elementary Technology Conference, June 14th through 16th. Check that out at elementary.tcea.org. And as always, you can get some extra credit by sending your thoughts and ideas to us at podcast@tcea.org and keeping up with TCEA on all your favorite social media platforms. And for a little homework, don't forget to check out the description to this podcast episode. There are some great links to some of the stuff that Bruce talked about. Do not miss out on that. And speaking of not missing out, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast if you're not already, and share it with your friends. It might make some great summer listening. And of course, we'll be back next week with another meeting of the EdTech Club. But until then, I'm Andrew Rausch. Thanks for being part of the club. EdTech Club is a production of TCEA. To learn more and to join, go to tcea.org.